maybe we might want to do that one twice to make sure we have enough energy.
Oh, man.
ABCs are met, so it's all good. The ABCs.
Chapter number one. Good morning, everyone. It's certainly good to be here, and I'm flying solo today. My wife is filling in playing the piano for her brother down there in Philadelphia this morning. But anyway, it's good to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's day with the Lord's people. Amen. And praying for the Lord's Spirit to meet with us, and then we hear the Lord's Word. It seems like everything's about the Lord today, doesn't it? Amen. Psalms chapter number one, if you would. We have been working on this in Sunday school, and I hope you're not getting too tired of it. Amen. I mean, I could go a lot faster, but that's not the goal. Amen. We're trying to get through. This is a great psalm, and we've been talking about godly people. And by the way, that's what we ought to be trying to be. Amen. I have a hard time calling myself a godly person, and I kind of hope you do too. You know, somebody said, pray for humility, but never thank God you have it. You know what I'm saying? But if you're saved, you're God's people. And I know that I'm God's people, God's person. I'm saved. Amen. But godly people are the people that are God's people that live like it. Amen. There's a lot of God's people in this world today that do not live like they're God's people. And so we have to really, really work at maintaining living for the Lord. Amen. I'll tell you, the days are getting darker, and living for the Lord is getting a little more difficult There's no doubt about that. Amen. It's not easy to live for God, and especially in the day that we live in. But may God help us to do that. Amen. Let me just take a moment to reiterate some things. We talked about verse number one, and we talked about the fact that godly people are careful people. And we talked about the fact they're careful to maintain separation. And you know, we talked about this for a few weeks. We need to maintain separation from the world the best that we possibly can. I mean, living in the world, but not living of the world. That's the thing. And boy, it's not the easiest thing to live there and not kind of go along with the influence that's all around us. Amen. And so that is our goal, is to be careful people, to be careful to maintain separation from the world. And then last week we really emphasized, and I think taking it even a step further, that we have to be careful to maintain separation from the worldly. And the worldly, to me, in many times, are those that are saved, but live like the world. And they're the ones that pretty much got their foot in the world and their foot in the church, which becomes a bridge sometimes for people that are trying to live for God. And they get connected with these type of people, and before you know it, they're becoming, you could call it lukewarm if you want to. Amen. I think, what did the Lord say? I'd rather have you hot or cold. I mean, think about what the Lord said there. Be one or the other. Don't be 1 foot out there, 1 foot in here. Amen. I think that sometimes can be worse. Amen. And so last week we really focused on the fact that you might have the right church, but the wrong pew. You really got to watch who you're connecting with in church. Amen. Isn't it the truth? I mean, this church ain't full of, I remember one preacher saying, come on now, adjust your halo there. You know what I mean? We're not saints, amen, in the sense of, perfect, amen. And we got to be really, really careful that we link up with the right people, amen. Now, let me say this in closing this section, which we talked about, and I do want to close this section of maintaining separation with this thought here. Be careful when choosing friends. Be careful when choosing friends. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 119 for a moment. Please, Psalm 119. We really, really got to be careful of the friends we choose to really connect with. Amen? Because not only are we influencing them, but they're influencing us. And we got to really, really make sure that we're choosing the right friends. And by the way, not only do we have to be careful about choosing the right friends, I'll even say this. We need to be careful that we choose to be the right friend. Amen. It's one thing talking about somebody else being my friend, but it's another thing talking about me being a friend to them. Amen. And look at Psalm 119. Many believe David wrote this psalm, but whoever the psalmist was, he says in Psalms 119, verse 63, this is a good standard for choosing friends. Now, you remember I said, always be friendly to. Always be friendly to. There are some Christians that are unfriendly to the world, period, or unfriendly to others, period. That's not a good thing. Amen. Always friendly to, but we got to be careful of who we become friends with. Look at Psalm 119, verse number 63. Here's what the psalmist said. I am a companion. That would be a friend, right? I am a companion of all them that, what? Fear thee. You know, we got to understand the word fear. It's really, in essence, is respect. I want to be friends with people who respect God. If you have no respect for the Lord, we can't be friends. I'll always be friendly to you, but we're not going to link up. You know what I mean? Why? If you don't respect my God, if you don't respect my Father, you're not going to live the kind of way that I'm trying to live. Amen. I don't know how many people would grow up and hang with kids that say, I don't like your mom and dad. I hate them. Oh, that's okay. We're going to have friends anyway. No, I think that'd be a little problem there. Hold on a minute. I mean, if you don't like him, you don't like me. Amen. And so look what else he says. I'm a companion of all them that what? Fear thee, and of them that what? Keep thy precepts. Now, by the way, you'll never find a perfect friend. I'm not looking for somebody, who's perfect, because by the way, if you find that friend, you're in heaven. Amen. I want to try to be friends with people who respect God and who are at least trying to live for God. Listen, I want to connect with people who are going in the same direction. Amen. Why? Because we need to go in the same direction together. Amen. We're not perfect people, but we're trying to go in the right direction together. Amen. And that's the key. I don't need to link up with people that are going in the opposite direction. That's not going to help me. Amen. In fact, let me show you another verse in the New Testament. Turn, if you would, please, to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. These are verses that really, really encourage us when choosing friends. Try to choose friends that have respect for God and that are trying to live for God. Trying to live for God. By the way, that's a good way to choose a church. Can I get a witness on that one? That's a good way to choose a church. A church that has respect for God. By the way, how do you know a church has respect for God? They got respect for His word. When a church, by the way, nowadays, many churches, they're cutting out the word and they're turning up the band. It's becoming more, matter of fact, they're getting rid of pulpits and there's no pulpits no more. They're threatening. Pulpits are threatening to people. Seriously, they're getting rid of these things. And I mean, if you'll see some of the advertisements of the new wave, you know, they got this old preacher pointing his finger at you from a pulpit and it's a black and white picture. You know what I mean? And you don't want that. You know, you want to have it to where, you know, the stage is lit up. You got the drums up there and you know what I mean? And stuff like that. And that's what we're having today. And the word of God is almost like in some churches, they got a huge platform for all the big plays and everything else. And then there's a little podium in the corner. Amen. The word of God, one church has it this day. The word of God is the king of that church. And the music ministry is the queen. Amen. And so respect for God's word is definitely the key. Amen. There ain't no doubt about that. But look with me if you would in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. God helped me to choose these kind of friends. Friends that have respect for God. They're not perfect, but they respect God. Amen. And they're trying to live for the Lord. And by the way, help me to be that kind of friend. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I want you to look at verse number 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 22. Paul, speaking to Timothy as a leader especially, says verse number 22, flee youthful lust. Now, Timothy was younger, obviously. In fact, Paul told him, let no man despise thy youth, right? Verse number 22, flee youthful lust. As a minister, flee youthful lust. He said this, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. In other words, he says, listen, as a minister, flee from the wrong things, the lustful thing, but follow the right things. Amen. I have a message entitled Chase What Matters. Amen. Chasing the wrong things, you end up in the wrong place. Amen. You and I are to chase the spiritual things, you know, trying to be righteous and trying to live right and so on. And that's what he says. He says, Timothy, don't go after the fleshly things. Go after the right things. Look at the rest of verse number 22. Look at the end of it. What's the next two words? With them that call on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart. Timothy, don't go after the things your flesh wants. By the way, that's all wrapped up in the world. All that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Timothy, as a minister especially, don't go running after the things your lust and your flesh wants. You run after spiritual things. Try to be what God wants you to be. And by the way, run after these things with them also that are trying to run after the right things. Amen. When two people are running after the same thing, you got opportunity to help one another. Amen. And that's the blessedness about it. Now turn, if you would, back to Psalms chapter number 1, please. Some of you might recall, I'm going to give you the second thought. We're talking about characteristics of godly people. The first characteristic of godly people was verse number 1. And it had to do with godly people are careful people. Careful to maintain separation. Verse number 2 is a verse that I want to title this. Godly people, not only number 1 are careful people, but godly people are mindful people. Mindful people. Now, the thing is, I preached this outline here a couple weeks ago, and I didn't tell you where it came from or whatever. I'm just going to touch on it. I'm not going to get into it. Godly people are mindful people. Look at verse number 2. He's out of the world, verse number 1, right? But he's into the word, verse number 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You see, godly people are not just people who are out of the world, but they're people who are into the word. There are people, I call them good people. They're out of the world in great measure. They're good people. But why they're not godly people is because they're not into the word. There's a lot of good people. And you know, be honest with you, good is not good enough in that respect. It's not God's will for us to be good people in the sense that we don't do. It is God's will for us to be people who don't do that, but we do this. Amen? In churches and in Christian schools, there's a lot of good young people. Good young people that have not gone into, they're out of the world, but they're not godly people, a lot of them. Because they're just not into the word and into the things of the Lord. Amen? And so we need to be mindful people. This book needs to be in our mind and in our heart all the time. Amen. In fact, here's the outline I did preach a couple weeks ago, and I'll just mention it to you. Godly people are fond of God's word. In other words, the word fond, they love and enjoy the word of God. They got an appetite for the book. Amen. In fact, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. I mean, godly people are godly people because they love this book and they feast on this book. Amen. They're fond of God's word. But not only are they fond of God's word, which the word delight has to do with that in verse number 2, but they are focused on God's word. Focused on God's word. And that's the word meditate. And you remember we talked about meditation a couple, I don't know if it was last year sometime. They meditate on the word of God, which basically means this. They think and think and think on the word of God. In fact, when I hear preaching, when I go to church and I hear preaching, I'm looking for answers of things I've been thinking about for a long time. I got a lot of things hanging in my mind that haven't yet really been. I'm reading and studying the word of God all the time, and I got many questions. And when I get opportunity to hear somebody preach or teach something, and I'm thinking, hold on a minute. Wow, they're actually in a text that I'm actually trying to get a grip on myself. Maybe I can hear. That's the way it should be. It shouldn't be like when you're being taught and preached the word of God, you're kind of like, I don't know anything. Unless you just got saved, we appreciate that, amen? But if you've been saved for a while, man, we should be kind of looking for answers that we haven't found completely. If you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed. And guess what? You'll know the truth. Continue it. Meditate on it. Think about it. Amen. And so godly people are fond of God's word. They're focused on God's word. Let the meditation of my heart, the words of my mouth, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Godly people are fond of God's word. They're focused on God's word. Here's another thing about godly people. They're filled with God's word. Filled with God's word. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of God dwell in you. That word dwell, that's not stopped by once in a while. You have a dwelling. You know where your dwelling is? It's where you live. This book ought to find a living quarters in our hearts. Amen. If we just can't, let's visit once in a while. Now, there's many believers, they only visit once in a while. Somebody says, I'm so poor, I can't pay attention. I think in Christianity, we're poor because we don't pay attention. Amen? And the fact of the matter is, listen, we need to be filled. This book needs to find a place in us. It needs to reside in us. If my words abide in you and you abide in me, Jesus said in John 15, yes, which you will, do it. This book needs to find a home in our hearts and in our minds. Amen. We need to be filled with. Let the word of God fill us. Here it is. Richly. Oh, we need a good dose of the scriptures. Amen. All the time. And so godly people are mindful people. They're fond of God's word. They're focused on God's word. They're filled with God's word. And let me say this. Turn to Proverbs 7 for a moment, if you would, please. Proverbs chapter number 7. Please, Proverbs chapter number 7. And I think we're looking forward to a hotter day today. It's going to be, from what I heard, it's going to be about 85. And so you know my jacket is not staying on today. But I promise you, it's the only thing coming off. Amen. I'm not going to take my tie off. That would be sacrilegious. I want you to look at the Proverbs chapter. By the way, I hate ties. I do not say blessed be the ties. Amen. This Proverbs chapter 7. I want you to look with me. I can be honest with you, right? Amen. Somebody said, oh, I can't believe that. He hates ties. That's not right. Look at Proverbs 7. We need to be filled with the word of God. We need to be filled with the word of God. We need to get filled with the word of God so much so that we are very much familiar with it. I don't think anybody here has ever memorized Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22 at the end, right? Anybody ever memorized the whole Bible? And I bet you, I hate to bet, I'm not a gambler, don't hold that against me. I don't think anybody's going to memorize the whole Bible. I don't even know if anybody has it all memorized. I've heard of somebody memorized the New Testament at one time. They honor the Pope too today, but nonetheless. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, listen, if I am probably not going to memorize this thing from Genesis to Revelation, well, I'll tell you what I need to be is familiar with it. So familiar that, okay, I don't have it memorized, but I tell you, I think it's in this neighborhood. Amen? Now look at Proverbs 7. Look with me in verse number 1. My son, by the way, Solomon speaking to his son here, but I see the father speaking to us as his children. He said, my son, keep my words. Lay up my commandments with thee. Look at verse number 3. Bind them upon thy finger. Write them upon the table of thine heart. In other words, we got to get this book in us, right? Look at verse 4. Say unto wisdom. Wisdom is the word of God, right? Say unto wisdom, thou art my what? Sister, and call understanding thy what? Kinswoman. You see, what is he saying? He's saying, listen, make the word of God one of your relatives. Do you know the base of the word family and familiar are the same? You know your family because you grew up around them. Amen? You know your family because you are just, you've been around them for so long, you know them so well. Am I right on that one? Become a family member with this book. Make this book your sister. I mean, just know this book to the point where, you know what? I know. Amen. I know in great measure. Become familiar. That's what we need to do. We need to be fond of the book. We need to be focused on the book. We need to be filled with the book. And here's the thing. Not only is godly people fond of the word and focused on the word and filled with the word, but godly people are framed by the word. You say, what do you mean by framed? And I'm not talking about like they got framed by it in the sense they got themselves in trouble. When I think of framed, I use this definition of this word, shaped and supported. Shaped and supported. Our lives should be shaped and supported by this book. Amen? In fact, I'll give you the verse, Acts 20. You don't have to turn there. Acts 20, verse number 32. Paul said this to the Ephesian elders. He said, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. And give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. This book right here, by the way, it's a hammer. It tears down a lot of the old things, but it also builds up the new things in our lives. Amen? Our lives to be framed by this book right here. Now, let me give you this point. Turn back to Psalms chapter number 1, if you would, please. Psalms chapter 1. I only touched on that because I had already preached it, but I wanted to give it to you in order. Let me give you the third point. The third point. So Psalms chapter 1, we talked about verse number 1. Listen, blessed is the man that is what? Careful to maintain separation. Get out of the world as much as you can, as best as you can. But verse number 2, he's mindful. He's mindful of the word of God. Get out of the world, get into the word. Amen? And then we have verse number 3. It really is the essence of the results of verse number 1 and 2. Godly people are careful people, number 1. They're mindful people, number 2, but verse number 3, they're successful people. Godly people are successful people. Now, verse number 3 talks about the success, the successful Christian. When you're out of the world and into the Word, you can be successful. Now, look, let's read together. Let's read it, if you will, verse number 3. And he shall what? Be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall what? Prosper. Well, that sounds like success, doesn't it? That is success. I want to prosper. Now, I want you to get this now. By the way, some of you, please don't turn me off. I'm not going to ask you to help me to get a jet plane or, a Bentley or something like that. Amen. You can find that on TV. That kind of success. I want you to notice something. In this verse, success has nothing to do with having. Do you know what the first part of verse number 3 said? It didn't say, and he shall have. See, a lot of these TV preachers and evangelists, they talk about success being God's going to give you a mansion here and now. And God's going to give me this, jet plane to fly around. And God's, I think it was, what's that guy's name? Dollar. Jeffro Dollar or something like that? Yeah, he's pulling up in the Bentley, $250,000. I mean, they call this prosperity. Amen? But there is a success that you and I, by the way, we got to be careful of not using words because the way that they're used elsewhere. Amen? We got to be careful. Some people shy away from talking about the Holy Spirit because the Pentecostals kind of beat that thing up. Some people shy away from talking about Christian success because that's what you're hearing from a lot of the worldly Christians all over. Amen? There is real success for Christians. Amen? And by the way, it has nothing to do with having. It didn't say if you get out of the world and get into the Word, verse number 3, you're going to have. It didn't say that. In fact, let me say this. Acts 3:6, Peter and John were going into the temple and there was a beggar, remember, asking for money. And you know what Peter said? Silver and gold have I none. Where's the success there? Amen. Here's where the success is. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Amen. See, by the way, here you want to talk. There's a very, very popular verse in scripture. You hear it and see it all the time. Philippians 4:13. In fact, I'm sure you memorized that one, right? Anybody know Philippians 4:13? I can all the, ain't that wonderful? And you hear that verse all the time. When's the last time you heard it in context? Watch this. Turn with me for a moment to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. I want you to see it in context. See, success as a Christian has nothing to do with having. Nothing to do with having. If that was the case, my goodness, the apostles and even the Lord himself, boy, they didn't have anything in this life, did they? Philippians chapter 4, look at verse number 13. We already said, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What things can he do? Look at verse 12, which is the context. Here's what Paul said. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be what? Hungry, both to abound. That means to have a lot and to what? Suffer need. Hey, I can do all these. I can have nothing because Christ strengthens me to live. I can have everything, but I still need his strength to have everything and not let it maybe take me away. Didn't the proverb writer say, Lord, don't give me too much. Lest I, forget you and take your name forget you and so on. But don't give me too little, please. I don't want to take your name in vain. Just give me what I need. Hey, Paul the apostle, there was a time he had a sufficient. And then there was a time he had nothing at all. And so we can't say success had to do with having or not having. Amen. In verse number 3 of chapter 1 of Psalm, listen, he shall be. You know, success is wrapped up as a Christian in being. You know, there are Christians that are successful. They're saved people that have success. And then there are successful Christians. You say, what does that mean? That means they are successful in their Christianity. That's what we need to be. Amen? If I can be what God wants me to be, if I can be the husband God wants me to be, If I can be the father God wants me to be, if I can be the neighbor God wants me to be, can I get a witness on that? If I can just be what God wants me to be, that is success. If I can be the salt to this world that I ought to be, if I could be the light to this world that I ought to be, that's success. It has nothing to do with having. It's everything to do with being what God wants me to be. Amen? And sometimes being what God wants you to be is not going to have a whole lot. It's not always God's will for people to have a whole lot of materials in this life. Amen. Now, if he blesses you, amen. God can't trust everybody with too much. Amen. That's the truth, isn't it? Success, real success, is a matter of having, or not a matter of having, it's a matter of being. Look at verse number 3 again, if you would, back to Psalm 1, and look at verse 3 again. And so he shall be, he says, like a tree planted by the river of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither. And look at the next thing. And whatsoever he what? Doeth shall prosper. So success in the Christian life is a matter of being and doing God's will. You're a success if you'll be what God wants you to be and do what God wants you to do, no matter what anything else looks like. Our problem is we put on the world's glasses to try to determine what success is. And we say, oh, this guy ain't got nothing. Look at his car. I mean, he's putting down the street. I mean, this guy ain't got nothing. This guy ain't successful. Amen. And we could be so wrong. We could be so wrong. Amen. Well, I'll tell you, remember when they went to follow the Lord and he said, hold on a minute, before you follow me, let me just tell you this. The birds of the air, you know, they have nests. The foxes have holes. And it's almost like, look down, look up. But when you follow me, tell you something, you know, no permanent dwelling here. And I think the Lord said, hey, realize what you're getting into. Amen. I want to have this kind of success. And it may not be appealing to the world. And I'll tell you what we sometimes try to do as Christians. We think if we have worldly success, that's going to appeal to the world. Boy, if the unsaved can see, you know, what I have and this and that, that'll impress them. Listen, if the Lord wanted to impress people into salvation, he would have never sent his son to a stable. What's impressive about that? You understand what I'm saying? There's no golden path to glory. Amen. Everybody comes the same way. Amen. Success. Let me say this, if I can. Two emphases in this verse of real success. Look at verse number 3 again, because I want you to see what I believe success to be. And he shall be, now look at the statement, like a tree, what? Planted. Let me tell you what I see in a planted tree here. I see stability, stable. Do you remember the man that the Lord, the only one time, well, actually there might be more, I don't know. They say in the Gospels there's only one time that the Lord Jesus ever progressively healed somebody. In other words, he could heal instantly anybody, anytime. But for some reason there was a blind man and he touched his eyes and he said, do you see anything? He said, yeah, I see men as trees, get this, walking. Not planted, not stable. And then the Lord touched him again and he saw all things clearly. And there's different thoughts about that that I have, which is not part of this message. But nonetheless, what am I talking about anyway? Oh, those trees weren't planted. They weren't stable. Here, a tree planted, that's stability. That's success. If I could have a stable life, if I could have a stable marriage, if we can have a stable family, if we can have a stable church in an unstable world, amen? That is success, amen? We don't have to have all the money in the world, but if my kids aren't on drugs, that's wonderful, amen? Look at Hollywood. You want to talk about success? These young people of these famous actors killing themselves, you know, getting, you know, dying this way and that way from all this. They all got too much. They got so much. We sit back and say, why in the world would that man kill himself when he's got more money than he needs? He's got more poppy. They're helping us to see having it all is not real success. A living dog is better than a dead lion. You know, you can be the king of the jungle and die. I'll be a dog. Just let me live. Amen. stable, stability. He shall be planted. And there's other scriptures that really deal with this emphasis. In fact, the godly are stable because the godly are people who live for the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, please. And again, you might want to throw something in Psalm 1 because we might come back to there again. But go with me to Matthew chapter number 7, if you would, please. Matthew chapter number 7. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Amen. All its joys are but a name. Matthew chapter 7. If you're familiar with this text, Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount, which the Lord gave to the disciples, to those that are already saved. But he concludes the message in chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. He concludes the message on the Sermon on the Mount. And here's what he says. Look at verse 30 or verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and what? Doeth them. That would be a godly person if you're going to hear his word and do it. Is that correct? You're a godly person if you hear and do. Anybody can hear. Be not deceived. Don't be a hearer or what? Only deceiving your own self. So, hey, some people think they're godly because they hear something. We're not godly until we do something, right? So he says, listen, you heard what I said. He said, now if you do it, he said, look at it says, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon what? Their stability right there. Is that stability? What's going to happen? Verse 25, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And by the way, we're going to go through the same thing the world's going through. Trials and troubles are hitting all of our homes. Amen? But the fact is, because we're godly, it says we're going to stand. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. What is he saying? When you're obedient to my word, you will have stability in spite of everything that's going on. Amen? Now look at the rest of the verse. Verse number 20, or rest of the text, verse number 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. You know, I hate to bust anybody's bubble, but this text is not about Jesus is the rock of our salvation. You understand what I'm saying? This is a message to those that are already saved. Your rock and your stability is not depending on your salvation. It's depending on your obedience, according to the text. The person that doesn't hear, that hears the word and doesn't do them, he's likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rains descended, coming on same, the same thing. The rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it what? Fell, no stability. And great was the fall of it. Amen? So what the Lord is teaching here is, listen, if you want stability, be obedient. Hear my word, do my word. This is going to give you stability. That's success. That's success. Amen? And then let me give you another thought. Turn back to Psalms 1. As we come down in a few more moments here, go back to Psalm 1. So godly people are successful people. What does that mean? It means this. They will be stable people. That's what I want. Just give me stability. Oh, that's all I want. Amen. Boy, if I can just get through this life in a stable way. Amen. Not only will they be stable, but I want you to note also, look at verse number 3 as it goes on. He shall be like a tree planted. But he's planted in a certain place by the rivers of water. Now a tree planted by water, now he's got his nourishment. That tree is stable, but its roots are reaching into that water. And that water, and by the way, that's like the word of God, right? Your life is the tree planted by the book, and you're just getting that water into your tree, into your life. Not only are you stable, but you're also going to be fruitful. Fruitful. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth what? His fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And the prosperity is fruitfulness. Oh, stability and fruitfulness. That should be the desire of every Christian. May I have a stable Christian life, and may I have a fruitful Christian life. Amen. You say, well, what in the world is the fruitfulness of the believer? Well, there's two kinds of fruits the Bible really speaks about in the believer's life. The one is found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. Turn with me, if you would, please. Galatians chapter number 5. And by the way, this is what I want. This is what I want for my life. I want to be planted. I want to be stable. Amen. And I want to be fruitful. I want to have the fruit of the Spirit going through my life. Amen. That's what I want. And by the way, as you well know, the fruit of the trees is not for the trees only. The fruit of the trees is for the sake of others. I want you to look at Galatians chapter number 5. Look at verse number 22 and 23. By the way, the fruit of the Spirit is in contrast to the works of the flesh, right? So unsuccessful Christians are not planted, and that's why they're fleshly. And the only things that come out of their life is ugly. I want to be stable, planted in the right place. By the way, getting planted in the Lord's house is a good place to get planted. They that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God, the Bible says. Amen. Look at Galatians chapter number 5. Look at verse number 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Boy, I tell you what. We need to be able to love everybody. Amen. I mean, listen, even Jesus brought it down to loving your enemies. I hate loving my enemies. And I hope you do too, because that means you're real. Amen. Love, joy, peace, long suffering. Oh, putting up with people, putting up with situations, and at the same time being gentle, gentleness, goodness, faith. How about meekness under God's control? Temperance. Against such there is no law. This should be what our being planted in the Word of God. You get planted in the world, this ain't coming out of you. You get planted in the Word. Can I tell you what this fruit here is, the fruit of the Spirit? Listen, to me, it's this: being different. This right here is being different than we're naturally. Amen? Naturally, in fact, I was driving down a highway. I saw this twice on a truck, back of a truck. I don't know, you might have saw this. Be kind. You ever see that? Be kind, be generous. Anybody ever see a truck like that? On the very back, it says, be kind, be generous, be compassionate. And it says all these things. And then the last statement, it says, be yourself. It blew my mind. I'm thinking, I need to be this. And then it says, no, go back to being yourself. You just messed me up there. It should have said, be this, be this, be this, and let the Lord have your life or something like that. You know what I mean? Because being myself, hey, listen, Titus 3:3, I think it is, talks about being compassionate toward crazy people around you. Remember, you were in the same situation, hateful and hating one another. Amen? It's not what we naturally are that we ought to be. It's what supernaturally we can be through the Lord. That's the essence of the fruit of the Spirit. It's not my fruit. It's His fruit in my life. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit. Listen, it makes us different. And then there's another fruit the Bible speaks about. And that's the fruit of our service. The fruit of the Spirit is His working in our life to bear fruit. The fruit of service is His working through our life to bear fruit in the lives of others. John chapter number 15, if you'll turn there for a minute. John chapter number 15. The fruit of the Spirit in my life, get this, it makes me different. It makes me different. Is that true? It makes me different. The fruit of my service in the people's lives is I'm able to make a difference. The fruit of the Spirit makes me different. The fruit of my service helps me to make a difference in the lives of each other and others. Amen. And by the way, that's God's will for us, right? Look at John 15, verse number 1 to 8. John 15 and verse number 1 to 8. Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. He says, verse number 4, abide in me, walk with the Lord, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in me, or in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Now what the text is saying is, walk close to the Lord, walk with the Lord, that you might be fruitful. You might be fruitful, but you got to understand, what fruit is he talking about? Look at verse number 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. But what kind of fruit is he talking about? Look at verse 16, because that's the key to the text. Verse 16 is the key to the kind of fruit he's talking about. Look at verse number 16. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and what? Bring forth what? Fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking in the context of them. He's saying, go out, share the truth of the word of God, and produce fruit in the lives of others. Help people to get saved. That's, by the way, people that get saved are fruit that remains. Amen? They'll remain forever. But I, by way of a more open application, our fruitful Christian individual lives should be able to make a difference in the lives of others around us. Amen? And that's fruit. Helping people to come know the Lord. Helping people who know the Lord to grow more in the Lord. Amen? If I'm not fruitful spiritually, if I'm not different, I promise you, I'm not going to make a difference. So I believe the inner fruit of the Spirit comes before the outer fruit of making a difference in the lives of others. Amen? What is success in a Christian life? It's being stable and it's being fruitful. God help us to get out of the world as much as we can. Amen. And God help us to get into the word as much as we can. Because then we'll have an opportunity to be stable in our own lives and then fruitful. Especially for the sake and the lives of others. Amen. And by the way, that's what it's all about. God help us to make a difference, to be different first and foremost. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for the gathering, Lord. I do pray that you will bless our time of fellowship before the morning service. Lord, anybody making their way, please bring them on safely. Father, we pray again that you'll continue to give us a blessed day in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.